And that was Songs of Thankfulness and Praise, which just so happens to be the assigned hymn for the sixth Sunday after the Epiphany. And you are listening to Law and Gospel on this Tuesday, February the 7th, in the year of our Lord 2017. And on Tuesdays, we love to look at a hymn for the coming Sunday, especially to teach your children about it so that they become familiar with it. And with us in the studio is the Reverend Mark Smith. Hi, Mark.
Hey, Tom. Can you believe what a mild winter we're having so far? I'll tell you, it's unbelievable. I mean, I'll take this.
Oh, yes. Well, wait till tomorrow.
Why? What are you supposed to have tomorrow?
35.
35 tomorrow?
Degrees, yes.
We haven't had any snow yet.
No. In fact, the most that ever happened in a whole season was only 1.5 inches of snow.
Yeah.
And at this point, we've had that already.
Yeah, we got just a little bit, I think.
Yeah, well, a couple of times, and it added up to that and such. So
not much.
Well, I tell you, it's
I tell people, you know, that, well, how's the weather in St. Louis? I say, well, you know, a lot of times you never even have to take your snow shovel out all winter long.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I never do.
Yes, I know, Louise. Louise, yes.
Well,
you have Louise shovel the snow, right?
Oh, I don't know if it'll happen anymore. She saw a Campbell's soup advertisement.
Uh-huh.
This poor guy has got a fever. He's sitting in his chair in the front room, and he's sweating. He says, you know, when I got sick like this, my mother would go and get Campbell's chicken soup and make it for me, and I drank that or ate that, and boy, did that ever make me feel better. And then the camera goes over to his wife, and she's putting on a coat, going out the door, slamming the door with the words, call your mother. So yesterday I asked Louise to do something for me.
She said, call your mother.
Call your mother. So.
We've got a good hymn today.
Songs of Thankfulness and Praise.
Even though you played an unfamiliar melody.
No, the computer did.
Oh, I see.
Yes. Well, you want to sing the...
It's a great hymn. I love this hymn.
You're going to be using it Sunday?
Definitely. In fact, I usually use this... You know, what I do sometimes is I have them sing this at the beginning of the Epiphany season.
Yes.
And then toward the end.
The reason is you often don't find a hymn that is absolutely slated for the season.
Right.
And what does the word Epiphany mean?
Unveiling.
Unveiling or...
Manifest.
Right. Guess what? That word manifest occurs 11 times in this hymn.
Yes, I know.
Yeah. Oh, you did know that?
Yes.
If I had asked you how many times you
God in flesh made manifest.
Yes, 11 times. Written by Christopher Wordsworth, who died in 1885. So, first stanza, please.
Okay. Songs of thankfulness and praise, Jesus, Lord, to thee we raise. Manifested by the star, to the sages from afar. Branch of royal David's stem, in thy birth at Bethlehem. Anthems be to thee addressed, God in man made manifest.
Now, what I find interesting with each stanza, it's going to a different event.
Right. It takes us back to Christmas in the first.
Well, yeah. Well, even before Christmas.
Well, let's see. Let me think.
Manifested by the
star, right.
To the stages, or sages.
Sages, yes.
Which are the wise men.
Right.
So what did they manifest about Jesus, particularly in one of the gifts they brought him?
Myrrh.
Yes.
They brought myrrh, which is... funerary.
It's embalming fluid.
Embalming fluid.
And I had that on the sign when I was at the other congregation. Jesus was born in order to die.
Right.
Yeah.
I once sent a Christmas card out.
Oh, really?
And
just once?
No. I let my wife do that.
Yes.
No, but this card really hit you.
Oh, really?
Because it showed... little baby footprints on there,
yeah.
Or handprints, I can't remember, and there were spots of blood on them.
Really?
And it made you realize, you know, that little baby, that little baby is someday going to be hung on a cross.
Yeah, a way to do that would be have a card with two sides to it, front and back. And the front would be the baby Jesus with his hands maybe folded, and the back would be with his hands nailed to the cross.
Outreached to the cross,
yeah, yes. That'd be very interesting.
No, yeah. I remember getting responses from that Christmas card. People say, oh boy, that really hit us.
Yes.
You know.
Yeah, we do it a little different. Is we get a Christmas card, we just cross out the name, put our name down, and send it right back. Because if they think it's a good Christmas card, it's nice that they get a copy, too.
I see.
Okay, we're not too much into Christmas cards, are we? Oh, you know, everybody does. Of course, you don't. Emails now and such.
No, you're right.
You can do special Christmas cards that way. But manifested by the star to the sages. So the word sage.
Those are the wise men.
Yes. But then the next branch of Royal David's stem, in thy birth at Bethlehem. So what does that manifest him as?
Well, he's a descendant of David.
That's right. Which means this is also his incarnation. Yes.
Right. I was talking to the confirmands just the other day about the story of Ruth.
Oh yeah.
And you know that's a great story. And particularly at the end, you realize that Ruth is the great grandmother of the great King David.
Yes.
And also the ancestor of Christ, even though she was from Moab, a country that sacrificed children and babies. Yes.
And who was, let me see how to put that.
Her
husband's?
Her husband was Boaz. They had a child named Obed.
Yeah, right.
Who was the father of Jesse.
That's correct.
Who was the father of David.
But Boaz was a son of who?
Let's see.
It's the other woman.
Oh, Rahab.
Yes.
You know, I didn't realize that. That was his mother, Rahab?
Yes.
The harlot of Jericho.
I know.
Isn't that something?
That's really...
I didn't know they were so close to each other. Yeah. Rahab and Ruth both
were. She was a prostitute.
Yeah.
And Ruth was a Moabite, and Rahab was a...
She was from Jericho.
Yeah, from Jericho. She
was one
Gentile
of the few survivors.
I know. Well... Because she had protected the spies when they were there. I just showed a video of that to confirmands about a month ago. And it was really interesting. It was well done kind of movie about how she had protected them. And then when they attacked, the word was, save the family of Rahab.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very interesting. Okay. So we found the first two manifestors. I'll read stanza two. Manifest at Jordan's stream, prophet, priest, and king supreme, and at Cana wedding guest, in thy Godhead manifest. Manifest in power divine, changing water into wine, and then anthems be to thee addressed, God and man made manifest. So, here we have two more events. The first one is his baptism.
Baptism, we always talk about that in early Epiphany.
And what does that manifest Jesus about?
Well, it shows, you know, you have God the Holy Spirit descending upon him like a dove. And God says, this is my beloved Son.
Yeah.
And so you've got the whole Trinity there. You've got the voice out of the heavens and the Holy Spirit and Jesus there in the being
baptized.
Yeah,
this is my beloved
John.
Son. That's good.
Yes.
You know, that he was the Son. And then at Cana wedding guest, how there... Was he manifested?
He's manifest in that that was the first miracle that he performed.
Changing water into wine, and scientists have figured out that would have been a huge explosion.
Yes.
The amount of power to do that. And all he said, I'm sure, is the same thing he said in verse 3 of the Bible. Let there be light, except let there be wine. And all of a sudden, it was wine. No explosion.
You got that out of Pete Kurowski's book, I think, right? Pete Kurowski talks about that. Well, the amount of energy.
Yeah.
The amount of energy that would have gone into turning water into wine.
I think I told Peter Kruske.
You think you told him? Yeah. I see. That's where he got his illustration.
Which means I got it from someone. Remember, I'm a super plagiarist.
Yes, I know. I know very well that. Yes.
And anytime you say something great, I repeat it in the sermon. And I think I've done that once in our 10 years together. Okay.
Without footnotes.
Without footnotes. No, as Mark Smith said, stanza three.
Manifest in making whole, palsied limbs and fainting soul. Manifest in valiant fight, quelling all the devil's might. Manifest in gracious will, ever bringing good from ill. Anthems be to thee addressed, God and man made manifest. So it talks about him healing. I think of the man sick with the palsy. Remember, he was let down on the pallet.
Can you imagine those four guys open up the roof, bring him down, and Jesus looks at him and says, your sins are forgiven. And they're all looking at each other. No, there was something else we brought him down for. And remember why he heals him. Jesus looks at the faith of the four.
That's right.
Yes. Isn't that something?
He was correcting, the people were all thinking, who is this guy thinks he can forgive sins? Only God can forgive sins. He was reading their thoughts.
That's right.
And
and then he says, well, what's easier?
Yeah.
Get up or forgive sins.
Or your sins are forgiven.
What's the answer to that? Which is easier?
Obviously, it's easier to say your sins are forgiven because you can't really see that.
But from God's point of view, it's harder.
That's right.
Because it took his death.
It took his cross. Cross.
See, that's another question you start a sermon with. Which would have been easier? Because everybody will say what you said. Yeah. But then from God's point of view.
That's right.
Wow, to forgive sins necessitated the crucifixion.
Yeah.
So that was a lot harder.
That's right.
I remember somebody once phoned. It was when I was on the other radio station. We Lutherans, you're saved by grace. She says, you Lutherans make it too easy. And I said, ask Jesus how easy it was.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that's a good answer. That is a good answer.
It's just, when you're set in one direction, and, I hate, the idea that there's evidence for God, because I like people to live by faith. But unfortunately, there was a very interesting football game Sunday night.
Yes.
It showed once more.
Did you watch it?
Oh, all the way through.
Oh, I tell you, when they got to be like 3-28, I said, this game's over. It's over. I went out on the other channel, started watching Casablanca.
Oh, yeah.
Who was on the TV, And my son says, Dad, come in here. This is the things changed.
No.
Unbelievable.
There were people who had flown in to Denver, and at halftime, they got on their planes and took off.
No kid.
Yes. They were talking about that.
They missed the game of the century. Oh man.
I mean, that was something. And the other thing is, when you think about it, is I was listening to two guys, and they talk about football. And for an hour and a half, the one guy was just so enamored for what they had done. They were going through every play.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And showing how the other team should have won. They made 7 errors, one of which was the quarterback went to pass when all he had to do was hold the ball, and they would have kicked a field goal, and it would have been 2 scores ahead, and he got tackled back out of field goal range.
Well, that one field goal was missed.
Yeah.
And
it didn't matter because you can get 2 points after every.
Yeah, if you can.
Yeah, they were saying. I was watching all the way through that. It wasn't until the next day I realized that was the quarterback that they had the problem with the pressure in the footballs.
Yes, of course.
Yeah. It slipped my mind.
You didn't know that, huh?
Well, it was just kind of interesting, that I hadn't thought about that. So, I tell you.
It was sweet victory.
God, I used that in confirmation the next day.
I bet.
I said, you may have a dream that you don't think is possible, but with the mercy of God, the help of God, a lot of things can be possible.
Absolutely.
So you should always strive for it. And if you don't do it, that's because God has a better plan for you. So it was we had a pretty good talk about that.
Professor Manteuffel, you know him.
Oh, he was a member of my congregation.
He really imparted an important truth to me once, and that is in one of his classes, he says, before they call, I will answer.
Yes.
As long as you don't know the outcome, keep on praying.
Right.
Because God will answer your prayers. He knows what you're praying for even in advance.
Just so happens that's exactly what we looked at in the Catechism. We're on the Lord's Prayer going through questions. And the question was, how does God answer prayer? And the answer in the Catechism, and they had the Bible verse, is that he's already planning on answering it before you even give it.
That's right.
Yeah, I used to do a book of coincidences when I first met Louise, and it only lasted a year and a half because I had 150 pages. Each night I would think of stuff that happened in my life during the day that was just a coincidence. Like I just told you, I had to get a new starter for my car, and there was no cost to it because it was the second time I put a starter in, and they guarantee them for life. So, I mean, that was just, you weren't expecting something like that. Coincidences, in my view, are things that come unexpectedly. And boy, there were just hundreds of them I had. If you stop and think in your life, plus all the ones you're unaware of. I like watching some videos of, I type in cars and ice, and here's all these people. They're driving down the highway, and all of a sudden, in the other lane, the guy loses control and smashes into them. How many times have we been driving where that hasn't happened?
Right.
You know, that God's kind of taking care of us. I've said to congregational members many a time, the only reason you're here in church this morning is because God thwarted the devil's goal of having you had an accident.
Oh, yeah. His angels are always, yeah, are always watching.
That was something. And yeah, I mentioned about angels once, and one person said, well, you must have two of them, Pastor Baker, when you drive. I think it was your wife, wasn't she?
Yes.
Something about she won't drive with me again.
No, that's right.
Okay. Stanza 4.
Sun and moon shall darken be, stars shall fall, the heavens shall flee. Christ will then like lightning shine, all will see his glorious sign. All will then the trumpet hear, all will see the judge appear. Thou by all wilt be confessed, God in man made manifest.
Now, you would think that's just talking about Judgment Day.
Yeah,
that's what it
sounds like. You disagree?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, well, are you thinking about Transfiguration?
No.
Well,
when sun and moon shall darken be. When that happen?
Ah, Good Friday.
Yes. And stars shall fall, the heavens shall flee. Now, you may not know this because I learned it in looking at the commentaries that Concordia Publishing House puts out. But what happened when Jesus died on the cross in the temple?
Well, the earth shook.
In the temple?
In the temple, the curtain was torn in two. Curtain separating the holy place from the most holy.
And what was on the curtain?
Cherubim.
Not just that.
And stars.
Stars.
Oh, yeah. I see. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
There's stars on that curtain,
too? Oh, my, yes.
You sure about that?
Yes, absolutely. Yep. Stars and heaven shall flee.
You think the hymn writer realized that?
Well, look at the next line. Manifest in valiant fight.
Quelling all the devil's
wrath. That didn't occur at Judgment Day. That occurred at the cross. And what did he manifest? Quelling all the devil's fight.
Well, that's the third verse. You're talking about the fourth verse.
Oh, I'm sorry. The fourth verse.
Christ will then like lightning shine. All will see his glorious sign.
What's his glorious sign?
The cross.
No.
The empty tomb.
The resurrection.
The resurrection, right.
Yes. And then we move. All will then the trumpet hear. That's Judgment Day.
Uh-huh. Okay.
All right.
You don't think the whole verse is talking about Judgment Day?
No. I think it's talking about the cross, then the resurrection, and then Judgment Day. Just take a look at the verbs, because they're futures. All will then the trumpet hear. All will see the judge appear. And then Look at the last line. Thou by all wilt be confessed.
Now that's judgment day.
Yes.
That's obvious. Every knee shall bow, every tongue will
Philippians
confess.
Philippians 2, you're
Jesus
quoting.
Christ is Lord.
All right. Final stanza.
Now this is a verse we talked about a little bit. This
we're almost out of time here.
Yeah, okay, all right. Grant us grace to see thee, Lord, present in thy holy word. Grace to imitate thee now and be pure as pure art thou, that we might become like thee at thy great epiphany, and may praise thee ever blessed, God and man made manifest.
The only reason I think you were questioning that is you were thinking that, you know, that we might become like thee here on earth. And it sounds like Jesus is our great example. But if you look closer, I don't think it's talking about earth. I think it's talking what the previous verse ended on is judgment day. Because grant us grace to see thee, Lord. Remember Job? With my own eyes, I'm going to see him. That's judgment day. Present in thy holy word.
Well, no, you know, I always took that to be, you know, preparing us for the sermon.
No.
Grant us
grace to imitate thee now and be pure as pure art thou. When is that going to occur?
That's
judgment day.
Okay.
You get the new body.
We have a glorified body.
Yes.
Right? Okay.
Because look at that. That we might become like thee. At thy great epiphany.
Great unveiling.
And
when
that,
he comes in glory.
That's according to the creed.
Uh-huh.
I think the guy's just going down the creed. And may praise thee ever blessed. That's eternally.
Uh-huh.
So.
Okay. All right.
I'm not going to disagree with you, but I'd have a little problem that we don't really become like Jesus here on earth, except for what the Father says. He declares us righteous.
Right, that's right.
And such. But we're still sinner.
Yeah, absolutely.
And we still don't see Jesus.
No.
No, not
with
our own
eyes.
But we will
on the last day.
That's why I think, in other words, 11 times the word manifest is used, and it goes through a number of the Epiphany readings. You know, namely him healing people, changing water into wine, his baptism.
Casting out devils.
And then the cross, the resurrection. So
doesn't have the transfiguration in there. I'm surprised.
It comes close in the fourth verse, second line. Christ will then like lightning shine.
Right.
But then it says, all will see his glorious sign.
Yeah, well, that's not the transfiguration.
No, that wasn't.
Well, you know, transfiguration used to be celebrated, I believe, in the summer.
Yeah, yeah.
Instead of we'd always do it at the last Sunday of Epiphany.
And that's coming up in, what, 3 Sundays?
Yeah.
And then after that, we start Lent.
Lent. Oh, yeah, I look forward to it. What are you going to do for Lent?
I've already...
What's your theme?
The 7 words from the cross. Each Wednesday is another word.
Uh-huh.
But with insights that people don't think about.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. You know, because...
Because...
I'm a super plagiarist.
Nobody, yes, right.
And I found them. And I said, oh, is that what that means? Well, let's do a sermon on it then. So, yeah, that's my intention at Trinity Orchard Farm. And that'll be on Lenten Wednesday,
March the 1st.
7 p.m.
March the 1st,
and
Lent begins.
Is that right? Before
yes.
that is, we're going to have a supper each time.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they did it for Advent, too. So
yeah, we do that, too. We have soup suppers.
Doing a soup?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, the last one we had for Advent... I mean, the church was almost filled, and I thought they were coming to hear my sermon until I heard what they were having, fried chicken.
I'll bet they have good fried chicken out there.
Well, they get it from Walmart. You know, it's all made and such. Yeah, it would be too hard to make that because There's a whole bunch that come down to eat and such. So, what are you preaching on this Sunday and where?
Haven't even decided. I've got to get to that today.
That's a good tune. Yeah, I haven't even decided because we don't decide.
We don't decide.
Yeah, that's an excellent text.
No, I've got to decide that today.
Okay. And we'll be back tomorrow with an Insight Wednesday. We're going to be continuing on the Lord's Prayer. I'm Tom Baker, Mark Smith. Thanks so much for listening, and God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel each weekday at this time on Worldwide KFUO. For a contribution to the program, make your check payable to Law and Gospel and mail it to Pastor Tom Baker, Post Office Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri 63132. You can call toll-free at 1-877-267-1962 or email Law and Gospel at lawandgospel101.com. Views and opinions expressed on Worldwide KFUO may not represent the official position of the management or ownership of KFUO, the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. If you'd like to comment on programs or topics heard on Worldwide KFUO, write us at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can also leave a question or comment on our comment line at 314-996-1542. We are the messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO.